This morning's scripture reading comes from John chapter 1, verses 9 to 14, and Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 to 40. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's, of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And now Matthew. The king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you welcomed me. And you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. For any visitors here today, my name is Jason Barham, the moderator of Olivet Baptist Church and also the member of council who's responsible for the liaison with one of our partners in ministry, Journey Home Community. I have the pleasure and honor of introducing our speaker for today, James Grinnell, who is the executive director of Journey Home. As you may know, January is our outreach focus month. James gets the first Sunday to give us some more awareness as to what's happening at Journey Home and the message that he'll convey, I think, will be one that resonates with us. Our role at Olivet with Journey Home is actually a little bit easy. We've got the homes next door, and we provide those to Journey Home for the refugee families that are welcomed. And I think part of the role for us is to get more awareness and knowledge of the organization and how we can help that out. With that said, next Saturday on January 13th at Burnaby Pacific Grace Church, there will be another Journey Home basic training. We had one of these hosted here at Olivet about 6 months ago. I partook in that with a number of other individuals. We are welcome to go participate. That is a full-day session about 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and the purpose of that session is to get more educated and aware of how you can welcome refugee families into the community. So hopefully some of us will be willing for that. The other quick message just administratively is that, as you know, in our 2018 financial budget for Olivet, is we do have dedicated outreach funding that will support Journey Home, and that is on a matching basis. So if you have the means and willingness to do so, the pre-authorized payment forms that are available at the office, you can designate funding to Journey Home if that's within your heart to do so. So I'll just pray very quickly, James, then pass it over. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the ministry of Journey Home Community and give thanks that all of it can also be a part of that ministry. We pray, Lord, for encouragement to James and his team. We know that, Lord, in serving your people, it's sometimes not easy. And perseverance and strength and courage that comes through your word, we realize here that is important today. We ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit being amongst us and that our ears are open, our minds are clear, and our hearts are soft, Lord. Yes. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, James.
Thank you so much, Jason, and to all of you as the congregation of Olivet for welcoming us here. Certainly welcoming us next door, but then also in your pulpit from time to time. So grateful for the opportunity just to share with you, provide a little update, say thank you for all of your support for Journey Home and the refugee families that we are privileged to work alongside. We've just come through the Christmas season. God coming to his creation in the human form of Jesus. I think it's the greatest event in human history. And it's the event that makes the Christian faith completely unique as a faith in our world today. So we celebrate it every year, and so we should. I hope that you've had a good season of celebration. Perhaps for some of you, it's a matter of just trying to weather the Christmas season. But we've had a good season, and there's been opportunity for us to have festivity and to reflect and to sing and enjoy music and family, not to mention all the feasting. Let's review that Christmas picture. God has been promising a king for Israel, his nation, a Messiah, for hundreds of years. And finally he comes, Jesus. But it seems somewhat in disguise, different from what they had thought. To them, much less than what they had imagined. A baby in a barn from a present couple with shepherds to attend the celebration. But if they could have only recognized him, he was so much more. For this king was actually God the Creator's, God the Father's own son. We just read from John chapter 1, verse 14, that the Word, or Jesus, became flesh and lived among us. Jesus came to the very world he created. But, going back to verse 10, the world did not know him. Or as the Living New Translation says, the world did not recognize him. A few did, but most did not. This amazing truth of God come in human form to live and walk among his creation was not a fact that was received or recognized by many. But it's a powerful fact. And it's the basis on which we as Christians have our faith founded. I love the song at Christmas, "Mary, Did You Know?" And the line that strikes me the most in that song is, "When you've kissed the little baby, you've kissed the face of God." What a powerful statement. Did Mary know all of who Jesus was? Probably not. As time went on, I'm sure there was more and more recognition of really what that baby meant for the world and who he was. I wonder something. I wonder if you and I had lived in that day, would we have recognized him? I think it's so easy for us to look back on that Jewish nation and say, they just didn't get it. I mean, hundreds of years of prophecy and of explanation and of anticipation. And then he comes and they didn't get it. But don't you think many of them were thinking, yes, all of this anticipation and prophecy, but was he coming in my lifetime? Like, that's just too surreal. That couldn't happen. No, we're still looking for that one who is to come. Would we have recognized him? I don't know. It's interesting to speculate, but probably difficult to determine. However, we have been given another chance to recognize Jesus the Messiah today in our world. You see, Jesus keeps coming to us over and over again in the form of people who need our attention, our compassion, and our love. We look briefly at the second passage that was read this morning, Matthew 25. And I want to look at especially verse 35. "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. In Barnes' notes, it says that a stranger, or the meaning of that word, was a foreigner, a traveler. And in today's terms, who is more a foreigner and a traveler than the refugee who comes to live among us? The pulpit commentary says that one way we could understand this passage is that you received me or welcomed me with hospitality or as one of your own family. And then in verse 40, Jesus makes that statement. Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. You did it to me. So how are we doing? Do we recognize him, Jesus, today? You see, the world carries the imprint of God, the pattern, the likeness, the image, the characteristics, the style of God the Creator. People recognize art because of the artist. If you're a real art connoisseur, you can look at a painting and say, that's Monet, or that's Van Gogh, or that's from the Group of Seven. I can't. But maybe some of you can. We recognize the Creator God in the people whom He has created. God the artist in this amazing creation of the world. Brandon Vogt has written a book of the saints and social justice. And in that he talks about Mother Teresa. From the time of her birth, Mother Teresa, or Agnes as was her name, was trained in her own family to respect the poor and the dignity of others, even the people that society ignores. Because each weeknight, Agnes's mother invited the poor people into their home for dinner and conversation. And she especially welcomed women in distress, old widows with nobody to care for them, homeless women with no roof, unwed mothers shunned by family and friends. And Agnes's brother later commented that our mother never allowed any of these many poor people who came to our door to leave empty-handed. When we would look at her strangely, she would say, keep in mind that even those who are not our blood relatives, even if they are poor, are still our brothers and sisters. It was through serving these visitors that Agnes first discovered, and I quote here, Jesus in his most distressing disguise. She came to value the poor, not of what they could do or produce, not because of their jobs or credentials, but because they radiated the image of God. And now I'm just going to read a couple of sentences here from Brandon's writing. People often asked Mother Teresa why she loved the poor so much, how she could honor dignity in such difficult situations. In response, she liked to grasp their hand, slowly wiggle one finger at a time, and explain, "You did it to me." In her mind, you could count the whole gospel on just five fingers. For Mother Teresa, the passage that we read this morning wasn't just a pious metaphor, it described reality. The secret of her infectious joy and boundless compassion was that in every person, every paralytic, every leper, every invalid, every orphan, every person in need, and I might add, every refugee, she recognized Jesus. Jesus invites us in the passage that we read this morning to move from an intellectual welcome in our brain to a personal welcome that involves our soul. He is inviting us to personal engagement, active involvement with people in need. And look at all the ways from this Matthew passage that we can invest in people. He is encouraging us to move from personal approval to personal connection. We live in an age of information, and so it's easy for us to share information with one another and to like a post and pass it on and to read and find an article and encourage people to read. We can do that and leave it there, or we can engage. we can act, we can be involved. And I'd like to suggest that Olivet Baptist Church has a perfect and ready-made opportunity to welcome the stranger. What do I mean? Well, for over 5 years, as Jason was mentioning, Journey Home Community has had the privilege of operating two refugee houses right next door to your church building. Houses that you as a congregation own. Most congregations don't have that kind of next door chance to welcome strangers. Newly arrived refugee claimant families arrive in our Olivet Welcome Houses for a 3 to 4 month time period till they get a bit more established, and then we assist them and help them in moving on to their next stage of housing. This is a place for them to land, establish a little bit of community, get to know their way around, and go through those first challenging steps of their refugee journey. We assist them with linking to all of the neighborhood resources, and we also try to provide relational care and some form of friendship. The line at the bottom of our letterhead, if you were to get a letter from us, says, "Welcoming refugees into community." And there's a constant turnover of strangers from a variety of nations: Latin America, Africa, the Middle East, Iran, Iraq, Yemen. Amazing opportunities. The world is literally right next door to you. In 2018, I'm inviting you, along with the invitation of Jesus, to come and be involved. To move from an intellectual welcome, an acknowledgement that our church is involved with refugee ministry, to actual personal engagement. Come and get to know a refugee family. Their names, their children, their customs, their dreams, and then share yours. It may be that along the way you strike up a friendship and you are able to welcome them into your home. Perhaps this is moving you out of your comfort zone and you're not sure where to start. Well, I have good news. Just as Jason mentioned, we have regular training sessions that we hold through the year, and there just happens to be one next Saturday. You can go on our website, journeyhomecommunity.ca, and register there and join us for that time. How deep is your welcome? How deep is my welcome? Not how well is your church doing, not how well is Journey Home doing, but how well are you doing in welcoming the stranger? I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Are there any strangers in your life that could say that about you? Oh, they welcome me. Are there some that could say that about me? Well, there are opportunities right next door for that to happen. Join us for a weekly Tuesday evening community dinner as we have dinner together with our refugee families, both those who've lived there previously, those who live there currently. Other volunteers sometimes come by. There's a staff member or two there. Participate in one of our work parties over at the Olivet Houses, and you could have rub shoulders with some of our families there. There's ongoing volunteer opportunities. Come to one of our larger community events. This summer we have our picnic over in Moody Park. Become a family support volunteer and intentionally walk with and journey with a family on a weekly basis. Make a personal connection. Start small, but start. We'll help you with that. And I'm around after this morning with some response cards, and you can see me with one of those to connect a little further. I'd be happy to stand around the front here after. I've got a few newsletters if you'd like to read just a little more. Here's what I know. God is not calling you to, all of you, everyone in this congregation, necessarily to move into fully engaging with refugee ministry. But I suspect He is tapping some of you on the shoulder and encouraging you to deepen your welcome. You have this amazing opportunity right next door to engage the world and welcome one more stranger. Don't let the chance pass you by. To help us hear the other side of the story, I've invited my friend Sirwan to come and to join us this morning so you can hear from him. Come on up, Sirwan. Sirwan and his wife Shanaz and their children Mohammed and newly minted Rose are joining us this morning, and Sirwan's going to come. And I'm going to just ask Sirwan a few questions and have him share a little bit from his background and his perspective so that you can hear from someone who's lived there and not from me trying to tell his story. So, Serwin, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me here. And good morning.
Serwin, you've made some good friends through Journey Home. We've just been talking about friendship this morning and welcoming strangers. Grayson and Linda have become friends of yours and Shanaz's, and I'm wondering, how did that happen? How did you meet them? And tell us a little bit about your friendship.
Yeah, as you mentioned before, so there's two houses in the next door belong to Oliver Church. So I was living there by Journey Home. They invited me there, and I've been living in that house for almost 5 to 6 months when I arrived to Canada. So there was my first shelter in Canada. So I appreciate, first of all, to you guys. I meet them in the community dinner every Tuesday, which is Journey Home is doing that. Every Tuesday there is a community dinner in the house, and all the refugee people, they came together there, and the people from Canada, which is there, coming there to meet the refugee. So I meet them over there, yeah.
And you got to be friends through those times, and that carried on.
Yeah.
Outside of the community meals, didn't it?
Yeah. After the first time, when I met them, and they trying to get closer to me and to my family, they were so nice, and as you just say, I was a stranger, and they welcomed me, and I was just, okay, God, what's happening now? Why are those people that are so kind with us? And so we actually, they are now my best family friend in Canada.
And Serwin, you said that one of the reasons that you've been able to establish such a good friendship is how they treated you.
Yes, and the first thing is interesting is they never look at me that I'm number two, they are number one. They was looking to me that we are the same level. They are eating the same food that I'm eating, dressing the simple clothing, and sharing everything with us equally. Nothing like to tell, okay, those guys rich, I'm poor, I'm a refugee, they are Canadian. Why? They never treat me like that. Mm. They treat me as a friend, as a brother, together.
There was a mutual relationship, equal friendship, wasn't it?
Yes, yes, yeah.
What kind of impact have Grayson and Linda had on yours and Shanna's lives?
A lot. As I mentioned before, they are my best friend family, and they helping me for how the thing I learned from them is the way they are treating their kids and the way they are, that was Grayson treating his wife. And for me, it was something new because in my culture is different, my world is different because of it. And I give you an example. For Grayson, he was feeding the kid in the journey home, and he told the kid, okay, this is your plate, and you're going to eat that food, and I'm here for you. Doesn't matter how long it was taking. I was just looking to him, and sometimes it's taking about 30 minutes, and he was very patient. Okay, go play around, have a smoke, come back. In my culture, it doesn't look like that. This is your food. You have 2 minutes. You eat it. You don't eat it. Something bad's going to be happening. So I look at them. I say, okay. And after they leave, I tell my wife, look, what these guys doing to that kid. Let's try. Let's see how is it. And actually, it's wonderful. You get more respect from your kid. You feel love between you and your kid. And another thing, how he was treating his wife. In my culture, in my world that I came, the wife, fortunately, is number two. Mine is number one. So, which is not fair. And when I see them, the way he was treating his wife is like a partner. You are a partner in my life. We are together in that journey. Mm. You are not only my wife, my kid's mother. We are together. We have a duty to finish together. So now I feel that one, and I'm doing that too to my wife too. And she's here, and she knows that one very well. So, and I learned something else, which is they call happy wife, happy life. So, and that's the reason I'm happy, because she's happy. So, yeah, that's... Yeah.
That's great, Serwin.
Yeah.
Where are you, just a little bit of background on yourself, where are you from originally, and what is life like in that part of the world?
I'm from North Iraq, Kurdistan. So I'm Kurdish. The lives over there is pretty bad, fortunately. Mm. It's more than what you think about and more than what you see in the TV. Mm. So it's so bad, but luckily here I am and
yes,
in the new life. which is awesome.
What was it like to arrive in Canada with very few things that you could bring, very few resources? What were you feeling and thinking as you came here?
It was pretty hard for me because it's my duty as a man to protect my family and to make sure they have everything they to be safe and to eat, to have a shelter, to place to be sleeping. I don't know, I was just following my feet, and it was darkness in the front of me. I don't know what's behind those doors, and I was so scared, but I have to make a decision. So I make a decision, I came to Canada, and after I crossed that door, actually it's not darkness, it's most light in the world, behind that door. Yeah, and when we came here, thanks for Journey Home, which is first thing they found me shelters in those house
over there
next door. Yeah. So yeah.
Have you felt welcomed here in Canada by other Canadian people other than Journey Home? I know you've made good friends and we've established friendship, but what about the Canadian public out there?
For me as a person and for my family too, most of my friends are Canadian, and I have more Canadian friends to more than Kurdish. I don't have that many Kurdish friends that I have more Canadian friends. And because of the people that I've been meeting them on Journey Home, those Canadian people, from through them I meet more people. And the way they welcomed me, it's amazing. It's awesome because I don't know how to describe that word to say how amazing it was when I came to Canada and that you guys welcome us with love, with kind. So you guys pretty kind. I'm proud to live in Canada, so you guys to be pretty proud too. Yeah.
Thank you. In what ways did you find Journey Home was able to help you? Certainly the housing was the first piece. You have to have a place to land.
Yeah.
But beyond the housing, were there some other ways in which you found help through the Journey Home community?
Yeah, of course. As you said, the first thing is the shelter, the house, some place to be sleeping in. You don't want to sleep in the street with this car, especially if it was winter when I arrived. It was November 25th when I arrived to Canada, so it was pretty cold. Yeah, the first thing was housing, food, clothing, healthcare, school. Hey, I'm speaking English now. So, yeah, and I've been here only 2 years, so thanks for them. They show me the way. They teach me how to build myself. They encourage me. They was behind me always. Hey, you can do that one. Even I know if I cannot do, they will do it for me. But they always pushing me. Go, you can do it. Try. And I did it. Yeah. There is everything you, that life I'm in is thanks because of your guys. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, Ron, what's it like living, and you can be honest here.
Sure.
What's it like living in a community house where you're sharing a kitchen and you're sharing the bathrooms and you're sharing the living room? You had your own bedroom, but, you know, it's a different kind of life maybe than you had been used to. What's that like?
In the beginning, it was uncomfortable, honestly, because as you say, in my place, I have my own house, my own kitchen. Nobody sharing with me. It's me only. But here, there was more than me. And the way we share here, I love it. It's amazing. And you never feel, okay, why this guy get more than me? No, nobody's get more than anyone. Everybody's same level. And it was the best place to know more people. With that sharing. If you're not sharing, you're never going to know people. So that's the best thing to know people is just sharing. Come in, see what's going there. And as you say, it's not very far. It's only next door. I've been living there for 6 months. Yeah.
What have you found a little bit difficult about living in Canada that's been challenging for you?
First of all, it's language. It's language because you don't know to speak. You cannot understand people what you want, and they don't understand what you want too. So
it's,
the first thing is language, and the second is culture and to how we can change. I've been living in one culture for 30-something years, and now I'm in the new culture. How can I change in that one? How I can make sure that my family is in the same train? This life is not easy, what I was thinking before, but now it's pretty easy, it's simple. Yeah, I think the language was the most challenging for me. Yeah.
What are some of the things that you've learned? You talked about learning some things from Grayson and Linda. Are there some other things you've learned in coming to Canada? I know one of the things you mentioned in a response to me was learning about the whole idea of volunteering.
That's something pretty new for us. And, in my country, there is no volunteer. There is nothing like volunteers. No. So here is when I've been volunteering for 2 years and 2 hours for gardening. I'm taking care of gardening, planting the tomatoes, all that thing we share together. So I'm being volunteering is something amazing. I think it's just, when you do it, you feel it. It's I don't know how to describe that one, but when you do something voluntary, you know you're going to do something for somebody else. You're not going to do something for to making money. No, that's voluntary. You just try to helping people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know, Sir Wanda, you come from a different religious faith background. Mm-hmm. Are there some ways in which your view of Christians has changed or a different understanding as you've come to Canada?
Yes, there is. The way I've been teach what's Christianity, what is Jesus, it was unfair and untrue, the way I've been teaching before in my country, because it's not true. And now after I came to Canada, and especially last year when we have a journey with you and a couple of men together for 12, I think 13 weeks together, we've been studying about all the prophet, all the way to Jesus, and we've been studying a lot about Jesus, what Jesus doing, how he's come on. So now I have a huge respect for them. I understand what true Christianity is. It's not that one I've been taught. Fortunately, it's not true and it's not fair. Now I know what they are and what they believe and how kind they are. The way you guys been kind because of Jesus. Jesus teach you guys how to be kind with mm-hmm. the people. So, yes, I have more respect. And look here, I'm in church with my family. I believe you guys more than maybe believe in Muslim people. Yeah, as a Muslim, I feel more safe here. Yeah.
That's powerful. Thank you for sharing honestly. You have a very interesting job, Sir Wanda. Cool. And I'd like you just to tell the folks a little bit, we're just about finishing off here, but about the kind of work you do, how that came about, and what you do in your work.
Yeah, the job I get, it was through Junior Home. One of the Junior Home members, she's named Trudy. And she found me that job, and she one day just called me and she said, hey, there is a job in East Side downtown with some organization called Mission Festival. If you're interested, I can arrange an interview for you with the manager over there and just go see how is it. And when I went there, actually, honestly, I went there to make money to help my family because this is the first thing. But after I get to the job, I'm working East Side downtown with homeless people. I'm helping homeless people. For 1 year, or a couple of months, I think.
Yeah.
So my job is to bring those people that are sleeping in the street in East Side downtown, and we give them 6 month contract try. For those 6 months, we try to teach them, to coach them, and to lead them, to give them more skills about the job, how they can build themselves, how they can trust themselves. They are not belong to the street. They should have better life. So my job is with them with that journey for 6 months. After we pick them in the street, when they are, we make sure they are respecting time, they're respecting the job. When they do all the things, we give them a lot of coaching too. After that one, we have a good relationship with different companies. We give a full-time job. So that we pick up the people that they don't have nothing, the zero number. In the end of the 6 months, they have their own job, own life. So, yeah, it's Mission Possible in East Side Downtown. That's my job. And I love it now. It's not for money now. No more money. It's helping. Yeah.
There's a lot of Christian folks in that organization right there.
Yeah. Actually, I'm the only Middle East, or maybe I'm the only Muslim inside that organization. They are all Christian. And that's another thing. Look, I'm from different faith, but I never feel that I'm different with them because they never treat me like I'm from different faith. They always look at me as a brother, as a friend, as a partner. So, yeah, even some time with the homeless people, because, you know, because of the mind, the thing they are doing in the street, they are losing some control sometimes. So even they, sometimes they're speaking about Christianity. Thanks for James and those 12 weeks I've been glaring about Christian. I give him advice, hey, Jesus told you guys to do that. Jesus told you. Really? And sometimes they confuse, they tell me, are you Muslim or what? So, yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
You've been on quite a journey. You probably, when you were in Iraq, never would have thought that you would be in Canada working with homeless people in the downtown east side of Vancouver.
100%.
And here you are, Sir Juan.
And I'm proud. I'm doing that job.
Yeah. And we're proud for you. I mean, just think of it, folks. Here we have a refugee coming to Canada, now working in the downtown east side with our homeless people, helping them find employment and training them and supervising them and loving what he's doing. I think it's an amazing gift that we have been given to walk alongside and welcome the stranger. And I hope that you'll join us.
Yeah.
Sir, you had a few things maybe, anything else you wanted to say?
Yes. First of all, I want to thanks a lot to Oliver Church for those 6 months to be your neighbor, to be living in your house, to give me that shelter, that helping. And I want to encourage you guys all, please, as a refugee, or as Junior Holmes' name, to come in, see what we are doing here, how the people is living in the next door. Every Tuesday, we have a community dinner. Come share with us, eat the food we are eating, listening to us, let us listen to your story too. Yeah. Let's build more relation together. Please, you're all welcome. Anyone is coming there, we'll be more than happy to have you guys there.
Thanks so much, Sir Juan.
Thanks to you, James. Thanks again for having me. Appreciate it.
So thank you from me and from all of us at Journey Home and all of our refugee families. This is what you are supporting. And I hope you feel encouraged and inspired and excited about the opportunities that God can give us together in 2018. Helping people who are fleeing violence and persecution find a new start in this amazing country, not that we own, but this amazing country that God has given us. May we be good stewards of all of these resources and provisions that God has given us. With privilege, as we are one of the most privileged countries in the world, with privilege comes responsibility. And God grant that we would be faithful in the responsibility he's given us. So I hope that you've been encouraged and excited this morning as we think together about how we can strengthen our partnership in 2018. How we can offer welcome. How we can become friends with many more refugees. We are grateful for your support, and we thank you for the opportunity to partner together. I'll be here. I'll just kind of hang around the front. Sirwin, are you available for a few minutes after if folks want to talk to you and to Shanaz? And thank you for coming and bringing your family. We're delighted, and thank you to all of you. God bless you, and God bless us as we work together in 2018.
James, thank you so much for coming and sharing with us. And Sir Juan, thank you. That was such a blessing to hear your story. So definitely encouraging and also very challenging. And our prayers will be with you and your family. So thank you. So I hope that we do have a time of coffee. Just go upstairs. On the right-hand side is Olivet Hall. Just join in a time of sharing together. James said he'd be down front to greet you, and Sir Juan and his family also have a chance to chat with them. There's people that have signed up for an undecorating party, so I will zip out to go prepare lunch for them. But please greet James. Among the poor, among the proud, among the persecuted, among the privileged, Christ is coming to make all things new. In the private house, in the public house, in the wedding feast, in the judgment hall, Christ is coming to make all things new. with a gentle touch, with an angry word, with a clear conscience, with burning love. Christ is coming to make all things new. That the kingdom might come, that the world might believe, that the powerful might stumble, that the hidden might be seen. Christ is coming to make all things new. Within us, without us, behind us, before us, in this place, in every place, for this time, for all time, Christ is coming to make all things new. Amen.